In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. I don't remember her name. Honestly, I don't even remember if she was a she or a he. All I remember is that we had nothing to do, except to play. We had only just met. Her family were boarders, renters on my grandparents' property, living in one of the small huts behind my grandparents' home in Legazpi City, within view of the Mayan volcano. It was hot and humid, par for course in the Philippines, the kind of hot and humid that a dip in a nearby swimming hole just won't fix, or can only fix for the time that you're in the water, because as soon as you step out of the water, beads of sweat start to form immediately on your skin, that kind of hot and humid. I remember being surrounded by luscious green trees overhead and all around, running in and out of some of the other small huts and homes behind my grandparents' home, grateful for my new friend and playmate. There were lots of giggles, laughter, and lots of energy. When all of a sudden, I realized I was alone in an empty hut, and the only door to the hut, at least that I could see, was closed and locked. And my new friend had run away gleefully with the key. I was locked inside the hut, and she, or was it he, was the only one who knew I was there. My joy and glee evaporated, turning immediately into fear and panic. I started banging on the windows, yelling and hoping someone would hear me. Would I ever get out? Why did she do that? I thought she was my friend. Help, help, I remember calling. The walls had literally closed in, and I felt utterly isolated and alone. I imagine this is maybe a bit of what John in our gospel story was feeling. Remember John? Wearing the leather belt and the camel's hair around his loins, locusts and wild honey dripping out of his mouth. His hair, I like to imagine, going this way and that, desperately in need of a comb. His eyes ablaze with passion and intensity, clarity and truth. And that voice cutting through the desert heat. If you've gotten off track in your life, and all of us in one way or another are off track, then turn around, come back on track. Remember who and whose you are. Come to the water, start anew. This same John, now a prisoner, perhaps in chains, walls closed in, from wilderness and wildness to walls and woes, isolation, nothing to do, nowhere to go, but wait for that soldier to come and take you to your death. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, maybe to think back on your life and how everything that he had done, all that he'd said and all that he'd proclaimed and shouted out in the wilderness to all those people had led him to this. These chains, these four walls. Is it any wonder then that John should ask, "Are you the one, Lord? Are you the one? Or shall we look for another?" It's easy to understand how one would become hopeless living day after day in a prison cell. in a series of podcasts called Written Inside, produced a couple of years ago by NPR, inmates at State Field Correctional Center near Chicago speak about the everyday experience of being incarcerated. One inmate named William talks poignantly about what's missing in his cell. And the essay is entitled, What Isn't Here? What isn't here is a glass mirror. William says, I hadn't seen a true reflection of myself in 5 years, 5 years, until that day I got a cut from the barber. What isn't here is privacy. I have to hang a sheet from my bed. I take it off my bed every day, tying one corner to a bedpost and the other trying to fasten to a wall so that I have some semblance of privacy so I can wash up and go to the bathroom because the guard is right outside my cell. What isn't here is color on my walls. No pictures, no artwork, just gray walls. What isn't here is space. My cell's not big enough for my cellmate and I to walk around without bumping into each other, and so one of us has to sit in bed while the other one does what he needs to do, and then we switch. What isn't here is quiet or silence. The yelling of the inmates and the guards is incessant, day and night. Sometimes I use toilet paper to plug in my ears. What isn't here is a window. I can't see the sun, sunrise or sunset, starlight or moon. And what isn't here, William said, is a criminal. Because at the age of 61, that young ruffian who came into this cell ready to take on the world, he died a long time ago. But as many of us know, there are other kinds of prisons. You don't have to be an inmate locked up in a cell to feel hopeless, isolated, and alone. You don't have to be an inmate locked up in a cell to find yourself wondering and asking, Lord, are you the one? Or shall we look for another? Or perhaps even, Lord, are you even there at all? This time of year can be especially difficult if we're missing a loved one or loved ones, grieving their loss, whether it's recent or from years or even decades ago. It can be especially painful if our inner world doesn't match or reflect the holiday lights and the singing and the busyness. It can be especially hard if we're going through and experiencing something difficult in our lives, a challenging relationship, a difficult job, or maybe lack of employment, facing problems that feel insurmountable, whether financial, social, or emotional, feeling concern for that loved one or that friend who just can't seem to get a break. And these days can be especially painful if we're living in a city that so often breaks our hearts the more we become awake and aware. And in a nation that feels utterly and desperately torn in two. How long, O Lord, we ask, we plea. Or maybe, I am weary with my crying out. My throat is parched, my eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. Psalm 69. And it is into this darkness, it is into this fear, into this isolation, that the answer comes. Go, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Despite evidence to the contrary, God is. God is here, near, as your next breath. And God is working out her plan of salvation. If we but have eyes to see and ears to hear, the kingdom, the queendom of heaven is among us and in our very midst. You see, because kindness and love, generosity and compassion, mercy and forgiveness, redemption, resurrection, and new life abound everywhere, in every community, in every place, in every time. And our place and time is no exception. Heaven is made manifest on earth. God's heart and God's will are made flesh and blood and bone through everyday people like you and like me. And this reality is as real and even more so than the prison walls that we may see and feel around us. God is making God's self known in our midst, sometimes in spectacular ways, but more often than not, in the mundane, ordinary, everyday ways. I have a story of good news to tell. Forgive me if you've heard this one already, but I feel like it bears repeating. Stage lights fell on a man who was standing behind the podium at the historic Parkway Theater on North Avenue several nights ago. Stage lights fell on a man who was speaking. His name is William. William told the crowd about how his mother had died when he was 21 years old. His mother died when he was 21. "She was the only person I trusted in the whole world," William said. "My life spiraled downward from there." Spiraling downward for William included what's become a Baltimore story: being shot several times, getting involved in the drug scene, spending years of his life in prison. William's going to be here today, sitting right over there, reading a lesson from that lectern as part of our lessons and carols. You see, because William is now a full-time, well-respected employee at the Johns Hopkins Hospital. He's got 5 children, one of whom is in college, another one close behind, paid for by city scholarships. And minutes after he spoke under those Parkway Theater lights, William was asked back on stage to receive an award, which was given to him by co-directors of Turnaround Tuesday, which is also a Baltimore story, a story of redemption and hope and courage that deserves to be spread broad and wide during this holiday season. Again, hopefully more and more of you have heard this Baltimore story by now. Several years ago, a pastor and a community organizer decided to engage the group of men who had been hanging outside the pastor's office window day in and day out in this alleyway that was strewn with needles, evidence of how many of them had been passing their time. The pastor and community organizer were genuinely curious. They wanted to know the story of these men, and so they went out and asked them, "What's your story? What is your heart's deepest longing? How is it that you are here doing what you're doing? And what would it take for you not to be here? What is it that you need to change your life?" They identified some natural leaders in the group to engage others in this reflective exercise. "Give us living wage jobs," they said, "the chance to support ourselves and our families, and we won't be here in this alleyway anymore. Don't send us to job training program after job training program after job training program that doesn't actually result in jobs. We've been there, we've done that. Connect us with employers who are willing to hire us and who don't automatically equate our history of being in prison with being untrustworthy and being unemployable. Give us a chance at a meaningful and productive life." And so began the jobs movement known as Turnaround Tuesday that just celebrated its 5-year anniversary. And to date, since its inception, Turnaround Tuesday has placed 738, and it's probably a little more than that, since that was just a couple weeks ago, 738 plus Baltimoreans in living wage jobs with partnering organizations like the Johns Hopkins University, MedStar Health, Nally Fresh, University of Maryland Medical System. Employers report a remarkable 80 to 85% retention rate of Turnaround Tuesday hires. And the president of Johns Hopkins Hospital, Redonda Miller, reports that Turnaround Tuesday employees are hardworking, compassionate, dedicated. They're role models for their fellow co-workers. They get promotions. William at the Parkway Theater gave a little insight into why. "It's my responsibility," William said, "to help fix what I was a part of breaking." So today, on this third Sunday of Advent, I invite you to reflect on that good news story and think about spreading it abroad. You see, because at different times in our lives, we play different roles. Sometimes we are the ones in prison. Sometimes we are the messengers of light. Sometimes we are the light bearers, the ones who can say the words, "Hang on, hold on, this storm will pass. The sun will start shining again and shine longer and stronger if we'll just hang on through the darkest night. We will get through this together. And in the meantime, I am here. I'm not going anywhere." The good news is that God is unfolding in our midst ever and always, whether we are aware of it or not, sometimes spectacular, but more often than not, in the mundane, ordinary, everyday ways. So go forth, spread the good news, be the good news, bear light into those places of darkness and confinement. Amen.